Over the last few weeks, we've been exploring ancient secrets for healing and for inner peace. And we could all use healing, you know, in some area of our lives. I mean, we're always striving for perfection. It'd be nice to be awash in inner peace, wouldn't it? Some days, you know, it's not so peaceful. Other days, we can achieve that. And so, using the story from sacred scripture about our way-shower, Jesus, raising Lazarus from the tomb, we can look at and discover steps that we can use that will bring us to a level of consciousness and a vibrant life, just like Lazarus, that heals our relationships, that will heal situations, challenges, even loss and change, which is going on constantly. And it seems as each year goes on, the change happens faster, doesn't it? If you make a commitment to these steps, your life will change. That's a guarantee. If you make a commitment to these steps, your life will change. In a challenge, step one, look away. Take that time. Step away from the situation so that we don't rush in before we even know what's really going on. There is a creative intelligence within us that knows what to do. Don't let the situation control you. It has no power greater than the power that's within you. Step two, remove the stone. In this story, do some prayer, some soul searching to discover what those roadblocks are in our life. Because very often when we block something off here, it shows up there. And we want to be the most perfect, wonderful, vitalized spiritual beings we can possibly be, don't we? There's something standing in the way of our wholeness, and we got to get it out. When stuff is happening in our lives, remember the stone is not out there. It's in here. It's internal. So the work has to be done internally. Step three, have great expectations. Reverend Mike was talking about that last week. You know, believe, expect great outcomes. And if we expect those great outcomes, we'll witness that creative power, that creative process that works in the universe through us, that works through us and in our lives. Wonderful stuff. Those great expectations that we have tremendous energy. And that energy draws people and situations and blessings and good to us. And today, in this blueprint for healing and inner peace, step four is upfront thanks. That's why all the music with thanks and gratitude and blessings. In the raising of Lazarus story in scripture, after the stone is rolled away, there's the cave, there's Lazarus inside, dead, really dead. But before the miracle happens, before our way-shower calls out, "Lazarus, come out of there." In the story, it says, Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know you always hear me." We need to pay attention to those little things in scripture that we just sort of blow through because it's a great story and we want to get to the end. This stuff is important. "I know you always hear me." Two things in that little vignette. You know me, I can go on for days over two lines in scripture. One, we know from other stories that we've read in scripture that Jesus had a loving, intimate relationship with God. So much so that Jesus referred to God the Father as Abba, which is like daddy in our language. It was a very intimate, affectionate word. And he talked to his father often for that intimacy. And the second thing we find out in that little couple lines in scripture, it's recorded in several places in these Jesus stories, in the miracle stories. Jesus had a habit of blessing, giving thanks before the miracle happens. That's kind of like, I don't know about you, but I always wonder about stuff like that because it doesn't seem logical. Being a scientist, I try and be very logical. There's that story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and there was no food, and they were out in the wilderness. And his disciples come up to him and say, there isn't any food. These people are hungry, and they thought, the disciples, they just never quite get what's going on. And Jesus says, what you got? Well, he didn't exactly say it like that, but... And they said, we've got a couple loaves, and we've got some fish. There's 5,000 people. And in that story, it says, Jesus sat the crowd down, and looking up to heaven, here we go again, he blessed it and broke it, and there was an abundance of food. This looking up to heaven, this blessing, this giving thanks in anticipation of the miracle is a fairly common one in our Jesus stories. So, back to the Lazarus story. Jesus is looking up. He's giving thanks. Nothing has happened yet. Cave's still there. Lazarus is still inside. Why is Jesus doing this? Why is he giving thanks before the miracle? Seems kind of odd. It's like before someone gives you a present, you say, thank you. And then the next day they give you a present. It's like, what's our way shower trying to teach us? When someone does something nice for you or pays you a compliment, it's natural for us to say thank you. I mean, if you were brought up right, mom taught you manners, it's like, thank you. Yeah. That's just being courteous. That's just good manners. And we should be doing that. However, when we do the thanking in advance, it's something entirely different. Because what it is gratitude. There's manners, and then there's gratitude. Saying thank you after the facts is just courtesy. That's expected. Saying thanks before is gratitude. There's a difference. This attitude, this consciousness of gratitude, knows the right thing will happen. A belief that there will be right outcomes. True gratitude isn't just a courteous response. It's an attitude. It's an emotion, really. It's a visceral reaction. You just know. It's what I call a given. If I put this great expectation out there, I'm going to be grateful because great stuff is coming. Why is this so essential, this fourth step? It's important because this emotion that we need to have, this feeling, this fullness in our hearts and minds, is really the key to tapping this power that is within us. And much more importantly, strong emotion will overpower any intellectual idea every time. You know this. I don't care how logical these arguments are that people are giving you. If the emotion is powerful enough, it totally wipes out and blocks whatever logic someone's trying to lay on you. I know I have experiences like that. I imagine you have too. So it's really critical to get and develop this emotional state, this feeling. Now, it's okay to say words if it brings us to this feeling of emotion and feeling of gratitude and fullness. Because words can be the fuel that get us moving. They get us moving into that state of feelings and emotions, and that keeps us going no matter what's going on out there. Our responsibility, I know, what, I have to do something? Oh, criminy. Yes, you have to do something to make this happen. Our responsibility is to ignite that feeling of thanksgiving in ourselves. To ignite that feeling of thanksgiving in ourselves. Life responds to appreciation. It really does. Sincere appreciation unlocks the door to what may seem absolutely impossible. Think about it. When we deal with others, with children, even with animals, when someone or some critter feels appreciated and gets a little praise, you know, they start behaving differently. You know that. Same goes on when we do that self-talk. When we're putting ourselves down or when we're praising ourselves or giving ourselves a pat on the back. When we're grateful and applauding these wonderful bodies that we have, our talents, our abilities, our gifts. It's been found even plants respond to words of praise, growing stronger and more robust. I know, I love to grow orchids. Orchids are supposed to grow and send out stems maybe once a year. I love my orchids. I think they're beautiful. I appreciate them. I'm passionate about all the colors and shapes and sizes. These things, they keep blooming 2 and 3 times a year. Yeah, I can't stop them. They're responding to my feelings of love and appreciation. It's not just me. They've done some scientific experiments where they've hooked up something similar to a lie detector to plants that they've been good to or mean to, and they respond when the person comes into the room. Do you remember several years ago, there was that Japanese researcher, Masaru Emoto, I think his name was, and he did a series of experiments, and it actually started, he was examining water, and you know how they say no two snowflakes are alike. And so he started doing some experiments and photography around water and snowflakes and taking pictures of the beautiful six-sided shapes of snowflakes. And it evolved into exploring the effect of human consciousness on the molecular structure of water. So what he did is he sealed water in bottles and exposed the different glass bottles to words, to pictures, to music. And there were loving words and thoughts that he used, you know, grateful thoughts and words. And then there were angry thoughts and words and negative stuff. And what he found out when he froze the water and then examined the crystals, that loving, grateful thoughts and words produced beautiful, regular-shaped snowflake crystals. Awesome. Astounding. Hateful, negative thoughts and words produced a mess. You know, they couldn't even come together in any kind of a regular crystal shape. They were blobs in some instances. Positive thoughts, grateful thoughts, beautiful crystals. Negative, angry, oppressive thoughts, blobs. The water couldn't even form a crystal like it should. I mean, that's its nature. Left alone, water forms a six-sided crystal. Ladies and gentlemen, our bodies are 60% water. Our brain and our heart are 73% water. Our lungs are 83% water. Think about it. It's no surprise to me that we've had an awful flu season. Much, much worse than anticipated, and much, much worse than other years. And you can say, oh, well, it's not the H1N1 or the H2N3 or whatever. We just kind of didn't get the vaccine right. With all the anger and all the emotion and all the anxiety out there that's being stirred up every time you pick up your phones or pick up a newspaper, there's some new crazy thing, some bizarre thing to be concerned about or worried about. Is it any wonder we're making ourselves sick? Bottom line, the cells of our body are more likely to respond and regenerate when they know we appreciate and love them. I was just talking to Bob downstairs. He had some surgery done on his knee, and I said, how's it coming? He's limping a little bit. He said, come on, pretty good. And I said, it's amazing how we don't realize how amazing these bodies are until something goes wrong. And then we become aware of how intricate and beautiful and complex and sophisticated. I remember several years ago, I broke my little toe. You know, your little toe isn't that big a deal. And so they can't cast it because it's your little toe. And they put me in one of these flat shoes. And so I'm walking around. I couldn't bend my foot. It threw my whole body out of whack. It seriously did, just having a broken little toe. I had to go to the chiropractor for 6 weeks to get my whole body adjusted because my little toe was out. The cells of our body are more likely to respond when you appreciate and love them and praise them. That's how Myrtle Fillmore did it. Cured herself of a fatal illness. If you want more wholeness in your physical body, praise the evidence of the life and health you already have. The fact you, my dad, I remember, used to say, if I can get up in the morning, put my feet on the floor, it's a good day. As we're getting older, we can appreciate some people can't get their feet on the floor. You know? There's an intelligence in our cells that needs encouragement to create even more wholeness and well-being. From the simple to the complex, from a single cell of water reacting to negativity, to our human bodies. Our consciousness has an effect. And a grateful consciousness draws people and energy. You become a gratitude magnet. So, okay, Reverend Jen, that all sounds good. I always make a good story. So how do I get a grateful heart? What do I do? How do I manufacture that if I'm not feeling real grateful, particularly after I've read the news in the morning? It's like anything else. If you want to be a good tennis player, you got to develop tennis muscles. If you want to be a good swimmer, you got to develop swimming muscles. If you want to be a grateful person, you have to develop gratitude muscles. We have to, even if we're not feeling like it, we have to act as if. I know some people say fake it till you make it. I don't like that term. Act as if. Say the words. Try to conjure up a feeling. It gets easier over time, just like learning how to play tennis or swimming. The latest brain research shows our brains are wired so that when we consciously act as if, we're actually creating new neural pathways. Yay. New ways for our brain to think. It's like learning to drive a car, if you remember way back. eons ago. You know, we got behind the car, the wheel, you know, and we had to think about acceleration and deceleration and how, where do I put the brake on if I'm going to turn the corner, and what about this other trap? You know, there's, we were kind of faking it. We were kind of acting as if we knew how to drive because we wanted to get that license. After a while, we're driving, doing everything without any conscious thought. You know, we're driving one hand, sitting down in the seat, listening to the radio, drinking a cup of coffee, talking. Automatic. New neural pathways have been formed in our brain. And so we can use the rest of our brain for something else. Pay attention to your words and thoughts. We talk about that all the time. That's why we talk about denials and affirmations. Again, we're not denying the situation or the appearances. We're denying its power over us. There can be nothing out there that is greater than the power in here. And we're affirming the perfection. We're affirming our power. We're affirming our health. We're affirming our joy. We're affirming our peace. Whatever it is we need to affirm. Feed your consciousness good stuff, you know, positive stuff. Count your blessings. I remember a friend of mine who, when she would pay her bills, which is not a happy task, she would pay this bill and say, thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you that I have hot and cold running water. Thank you, sweet spirit, I've got heat. Do anything you can do to be in a state of gratitude until it becomes so automatic it's a given. Something to remember in this Lazarus story, it's hard to be grateful when you're looking directly at the problem, because all you can see is the problem. Do what Jesus did. The answer to the Lazarus problem was not in the cave, not in the problem. That's why it says Jesus looked up. He looked above the problem. As Einstein says, you know, a problem cannot be solved at the same thinking that created the problem. The solution to a problem is never found at the level of the problem. When we're confronted with a situation, stop and look up. The solution is already on its way. And that's why you're genuinely grateful, because you know good stuff is coming. So what are your takeaways this week? Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me, because he had a relationship with the power and presence in the universe, knowing that that power and presence always heard his needs and requests. Giving thanks after the fact is nice, but it doesn't have a lot of effect on the spirit of life. Great expectation, along with a perpetually grateful heart before the fact, is what this step four is all about. Upfront thanks. It's what opens the floodgates. It opens the channel. It's what's always heard by the cells of your body. So all those thoughts, either spoken or not, those little cells are listening. They know how to heal. They know what to do. We want to support and make sure they do what they're supposed to do. A heart filled with gratitude, a consciousness of gratitude, is heard also by the invisible forces of the universe, waiting to fulfill our dreams and expectations, waiting to perform those things we call miracles. So the big question is, does this stuff really work? Will it work for me, little old me? When we're required to think and act in new ways, it's easy to question and it's easy to doubt because it doesn't feel comfortable because it's new. It seems it's much easier to kind of do same old, same old. The easiest way turns out to be the difficult way, because if we do the same old, we'll get to the same old solution. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. I love that one. You know how we do something and it doesn't work and then we try harder and it doesn't work and then we try it again? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's... Try these principles. Every ancient and mystical source in some spiritual writings, I don't care what the belief is telling us these principles work. They're truly secrets for our own healing and our own inner peace. And boy, do we need that now. Words to take with you this week. Great expectations and upfront thanks. Great expectations and upfront thanks.